With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy, and as you can see, I'm joined tonight by Ben Ayton. Ben, thank you very, very much for joining me. We are here to talk about the upcoming game against Leicester City, the end of the international break, thank God, because we hate international breaks. First things first, Ben, before we dive straight into it, how are you doing, mate? You all good?
Yeah, all good. Thank you, mate. Looking forward to getting back to Championship football this weekend. It's a difficult one for Watford, isn't it? Obviously, six games unbeaten. We beat Rotherham the weekend before the international break 5-0. You kind of want to keep that momentum going, but we kind of had to put our foot on the brakes a little bit. And there's no tougher opposition than going to the lead leaders, Leicester City, at the moment. So it's going to be a difficult game this weekend, but I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, all good here, mate. How are you?
Good. Yeah, no, I'm all good as well. Thank you. Like I say, just glad that the international break is over. Could have been a little bit of a nicer return, as you say, going up against no other than the league leaders. And we were just having a look before we came on air, and we've won twice, going back to 2004 at Leicester. So that's quite a horrible record at the King Power. So, yeah. Obviously, if you guys watch the previews where we get opposition fans on, we usually chat for a bit first and then the guest comes on, but I'm delighted to say that we're joined by our guest tonight, Adam, and he's here pretty much straight away, so we'll add him into the room. Adam, thank you very much for joining us tonight. How you doing, mate?
No worries, Mike. All good, Mike. How are you, Ben? Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, all good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight, Adam. I really appreciate it. I know it's last minute as well.
Yeah, just about.
I mean, Adam, we'll get straight into it. I mean, it's quite, you know, you're back in the Championship, and I find it mad, to be honest, like the sort of journey you've been on. Just to give a bit of context, 8 seasons ago you won the Premier League, 7 years ago you reached the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and as recently as 3 seasons ago you won the FA Cup, and now you find yourself back in the Championship. I mean, I know it might be a bit of a long answer, but in short form, where did it all start to go wrong?
Mate, it's a good question, and I'm still scratching my head wondering what has gone wrong. I just think it's one of them. We've lost players, obviously, when we won the Premier League, with obviously like Kante's, you drink waters. Obviously, then we've got Rodgers in, done a fantastic job. And then, for some reason, mate, it just didn't gel. I don't know what Rodgers were doing behind the scenes, but something obviously didn't click that season. We got relegated last year.
I don't know if Ben's having a few technical issues, but I'll jump in here. Obviously, as you say, you know, Rodgers was the man in charge last season. This season, You got a new man in charge, Enzo Maresca. I think I've pronounced that correctly. He's from the school of Pep Guardiola. So how has his start been judged by Leicester fans? And that might be the craziest question you'll ever get asked because you're sitting top of the league. But sort of reading behind the lines on Twitter and everything else, yes, you're top of the league, but at the same time, are there maybe a few grumbles about his style of play?
100%, mate. Yeah, I mean, I've been to most away games this year and we could be two up at Blackburn when we was. And there's fans behind me, mate, going, oh, just get the ball forward, get it forward. I don't think they quite understand he's trying to change the style of play for Leicester. I mean, the year we won the Prem, as you probably boys seen, it was just one ball over the top, Vardy straight on the end. Unfortunately, mate, we've been worked out now, so we've got to try and change that style. And I think he's a great manager, mate. If we can keep hold of him, fantastic, but time will tell.
What has your style of play been this season under Enzo?
Mate, straight from the back. It's a bit like Man City, and we're no Man City by any stretch, but it's exactly from the back. Let's play ball. Let's get it out wide. Use the wingers and let's drive at you. But possession's mostly our biggest ball game. But I think our trouble is we just can't find the back of the net. I know we're top of the league and that sounds daft, but we ain't got a prolific goal scorer like probably other championships clubs have.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned coming into this season, two players that spring to mind straight away who you've sold. You've got rid. Harvey Barnes has gone. James Maddison have gone. They've gone to Newcastle and Spurs, respectively. However, something that I think a few Watford fans can sort of resonate with this, especially when we come down off the back of the 2019-20 season, you've managed to keep hold of a lot of players still. And, I mean, that's probably why you're sitting where you are. And a player for me, you know, just the likes of James Justin, Wilfred Ndidi, and that man on screen there, Kelechi Iheanacho. For me, Iheanacho is one hell of a talent. And I'm like, from me looking from the outside, looking in, I'm like, how on earth have you managed to keep hold of him playing in the Championship? I mean, I think Justin's injured at the moment. This is probably where you tell me he's not. But how have they all adapted to life in the Championship? Because, like I say, to have those sort of players who would fit into any Premier League team to then go into the Championship, have they adapted well?
I'll say they have, Mike, to be fair. I mean, the table don't lie. Obviously, we're top for a reason. Regards to Iheanacho, I don't think he gets enough game time for us, mate. Even in the Prem, he weren't getting that game time. I reckon if you give him that game time, he'd be a goal scorer. He proved it at Man City. It's just one of them, mate. I feel some players have gone backwards, some players have gone forward. It's a weird one.
Yeah, we've just got a quick question here from Paul Whittenbury as well, Watford fan. It says, living in Leicester, I talk to a lot of Foxes and the fans don't seem like they're on side massively at the moment. Mavididi is a huge player in this league for Leicester, though. Let's talk a little bit about Mavididi as well. Is he the standout player so far for Leicester this season?
Yeah, mate, he's been class. I mean, I think he's a Derby lad originally, come through the Arsenal ranks as well. So he must be some talent. I didn't know who he was until we got him. But yeah, mate, he's decent on that wing. So yeah, while he's doing the job, I'm happy, mate.
Fantastic. And one man that Watford fans and Leicester fans know very well is Hamza Choudhury. Obviously, he was on loan at Vicarage Road last season, had a successful loan spell, wasn't he, Mike? It was a difficult season for Watford last season, but he was probably one of the only shining lights out of the season. How's he got on with Leicester so far this season?
He's done all right, to be fair, Ben. I mean, he's started a few games, but I've come off the bench. The only thing with Choudhury is, I don't know if you thought the same when he was at yours last season, it's a red card waiting to happen.
You could say that.
But he's solid. He's solid. He'll do you a job anywhere on the pitch, which is great, especially at this level. Is he Premier League material? Probably not.
I think you need a player like that in your midfield. I mean, you know, Ben will completely agree with what I say here, but we've been lacking a squad in recent years that look like they lack passion. And at the end of the day, whether you're Man City or an Accrington Stanley fan, you want to see a team go out on that pitch and give 100%. And in recent years, we've not seen it. So when Hamza Chowdhury come in last season, you know, that was our first season back in the Championship after a really, really torrid time in the Premier League the season before. And we were sort of, as you are usually when you come down, one of the favourites to go straight back up. And I think, you know, a lot of our fans thought that, you know, we were in a position to go straight back up. And I think Hamza come in and we thought, you know, this is one hell of a loan signing. Obviously wasn't going to get game time with you boys in the Premier League last season. And he's definitely, like Ben just said, the shining light from last season, or the very few, one half, him and João Pedro, definitely. But I think it's good to see him getting stuck in, because you want someone like that in your midfield, I always think, because you can have all these players that play these, you know, beautiful 50-yard crossfield passes and everything else, but you need someone next to them that's going to basically, you know, be the battering ram. And I think Chowdhury's done that superbly for Watford. I mean, just out of interest, does he get regular game time for you? Because I know you've got Harry Winks in the middle, and I can imagine it's quite a contest for places in that Leicester side.
A bit of both, Mike, really, mate. I mean, the cup games, yeah, he started last game, but he's in and out like a yo-yo. I mean, it's a weird one. He's been playing in the back three the last game. Mm. So when he's named on the team sheet, well, you're not sure where he's going to play.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like I said, he's been in the back three last game, so...
Yeah, one of my mates, Leicester fan, and he said to me that he's been playing back there, which is a bit strange. He said he's played a couple of times as sort of like a wing back, but yeah, the way that you're sort of being playing at the moment, it's almost as if, yes, he might be deployed at wing back, but he sort of ends up in the middle anyway. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he's on that team sheet on Saturday.
Adam, do you reckon that there's probably more chance for Hamza to start in that central midfield on Saturday with Harry Winks being out?
Yeah, possibility, mate. Like I said, you boys hit the nail on the head. He'll sit in there and he'll do you a job and he'll break up the play. So I'd put him in there personally. And obviously he must have a rough idea how you boys play. Could that play into our hands? Could it help us out?
Yeah.
It's a good shout.
We've changed the style up a little bit, so hopefully he doesn't, you know, remember too much of last season. And, you know, there's a few players still there from his time last season, even though...
Question for you, boys. Sorry, Mike. Yeah. Question for you, just quickly. Do you reckon you would have signed him if we had stayed up?
I think we would have done. I get mixed up between him and Keane and Davis in terms of, and Ben, you'll be able to correct me here, there was a clause in one of their contracts, loan contracts, where if we went up, we would have signed him. Was that Davis?
Yeah, it was with Keenan Davis, yeah.
Right, okay.
But so, interestingly, when we signed Hamza Chowdhury, he only had 12 months left on his contract. But just before he was loaned out to us, he signed a one-year extension with Leicester, I think. But I think Watford would have gone back into him. If Watford got into a playoff mix and tried to get promotion, I think we would have definitely assigned him. I loved him. He covered every blade of the pitch, and he's one of those players that gives 100% all the time. He's probably not the best technically gifted player, but he always gives 110%, and you need those players in that centre midfield.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And yeah, like Ben said, I'd have gone in for him, and that's what we wanted last season. We wanted players that give everything, and he was one of them. I mean, that game against Burnley, the two games against Burnley, really, he was a standout player. Looking ahead to Saturday itself, Adam, again, might be a really stupid question. If you can nail it down to one player, though, who should Watford be especially wary of on Saturday?
Ooh, that is a very good question. mate, if he starts, Vardy.
He always scores against us. Always nailed on. Plays on the last man's shoulder and always gets a penalty against us.
I'll tell you one to watch, though, lads. And this is going to be probably a shocker, I think, personally. Vestergaard at the back. A sensational season he's having for us, mate. Solid, like a rock. Also, set piece. He's massive. He can win ball. So he might be one just to watch out on that sort of side.
That's interesting. A centre-back. There we go.
Yeah, not many other centre-backs as ones to look out for, but it'd be an interesting encounter anyway, Saturday. Before we talk about score predictions and that, do you have any memories, like favourite memories of playing against Watford? Like any fixtures that have stood out for you? Obviously, we'll talk about our one, which you'll probably guess anyway in a second. But any memories that stick out for you?
Mate, I was going to say, probably the one I'm going to say has been one of yours. The playoff, when we had the Peno, and you've gone up the other end and bagged. That's the one I remember for Watford, mate. I know we didn't win it, but it just sticks in there. Do you know what I mean? So,
just one of those special games, wasn't it? And, yeah. Did you travel down that game? Did you watch it?
We did. I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Devastated.
What
mate.
Was it like being in the away end for all of that crazy last couple of minutes?
Mate, 1 minute buzzing, next minute sobbing. Just something in a nutshell.
I bet you couldn't wait to leave. But yeah, no, as a Watford fan, Mike, that's probably the biggest high any Watford fans probably experience, isn't it? That's probably up there. Well, for us, that's like bringing the Premier League to what Leicester had that like 8 years ago. That was like us winning the Premier League that moment, wasn't it, Mike?
Mate, I mean, we've been quite lucky. I know, obviously, at the moment we're sort of in a bit of doom and gloom sort of period with everything that's going on with the owners and that. But we've had that goal, and we've had the FA Cup semi-final coming back from goal down. But that nothing will beat it for me. You're about to show us that you were there, Ben, but I was a little bit further up in the same stand where Troy scored. And
I don't know if you can see the top right-hand corner. There's a guy in a blue shirt.
I can see you straight away. There we go.
So just before Troy's just about to thunderbolt it into the top corner. Yeah, that was me. And then, obviously ran onto the pitch twice, didn't we? Because we just lost our shit. Went on when we scored. And then got it. All the pitch got cleared and then went back on. And I don't know about you, Mike, but that was a bit nervy when the long ball went forward and Almunia came to claim it. I thought, fucking hell, don't let this in now.
Because they almost, they went up the other end and almost made another chance. And I think, you know, we'd pretty much played over the allotted added on time as it was. So that was quite nervy. But another couple of games for me and Adam, I'm sure the next season was probably very, very good for you guys because of what had happened. They put us on Sky Sports, the early game, and you boys won 3-0, and you absolutely romped the league that season. Chris Wood scored one of the most bizarre goals I'll ever see. Almunia cleared it, it hit off his face and went in. We all knew that Knockout was going to score after the season before, and he scored in the goal that he missed the penalty. You absolutely battered us, and you ran away with the league that season. And then two other games which stick out for me. The season after you won the Premier League, when you were in the Champions League, Roberto Pereira scored an absolute curler in the picture that you can see on screen. I think Capoue scored in the first minute and we won 2-1. That was a brilliant result for us, considering you were the reigning champions of the Premier League. And then one sort of more recent, in 2018-19, we won 2-1. And Troy Deeney and Andre Gray linked up superbly. We got to the FA Cup final that season. That was such a good season for us. And I was at that game and I was in the stands behind where Gray scored his winner. And it was another one quite late on where we won 2-1. So, and I think Paul's mentioned it in the comments where Chalobah scored a rocket as well. That 2013... that was, interestingly enough, that was the last time we won at the King Power Stadium. So 10 years ago we won. Some real big memories there of Watford against Leicester. I mean, Ben, I know I've just reeled off quite a few. Have you got any earlier ones at all, or have you pretty much going with the same ones?
I can't look past that the playoff goal, the Deeney moment. But I think with that Deeney moment, it overshadows the two fantastic goals that Vidra scored in that game as well. Vidya scored a lovely goal from Cassetti that fell over his left shoulder, and then he just volleyed it past Schmeichel and then got one in the other end as well. So no one really talks about those two goals in that game as well. But other than that, the Pereira goal was special as well. So yeah, maybe the 2-1 victory at Vicarage Road.
Some absolute classics, and annoyingly, they've all been at Vicarage Road. Like I say, it's not a happy hunting ground. The King Power isn't for Watford. Again, looking ahead to Saturday, Adam, what in terms of score prediction, are you feeling confident? Because at the moment, you're still top of the league, but you've had a sort of iffy couple of results and performances. It sounded very much quite frustrating again, the game against Middlesbrough did, and a few Leicester fans had a few grumbles. So how are you feeling going into this one after a week or two international break?
I'm feeling confident, mate. I just feel like it's a must-win game. I know it sounds daft, but two on the spin, two teams what are catching us in the way. And I mean, you boys ain't far off. You boys want the win as well to get in that playoff spot. I think it's all to play for. I think it'll be a very tight game, mate. Really do. I think first goal will be key.
In terms of a score prediction itself, though, what would you go for?
I'm going to say 3-1 Leicester. Sorry, lads.
No. Hey, you've got
it'd be weird if you come on here and said a Watford win. We've not had that yet, I don't think. Ben, what about you? How are you feeling going into this one?
It's just one team I do not want to be playing against at the moment. Leicester, who's on the back of, was it back-to-back defeats for Leicester? Leeds at home, Middlesbrough away. Watford's away records is atrocious. We won our first away game a couple of weeks ago, but it took 295 days to win away from home. So we don't travel well away from home. So I only see a Leicester victory, unfortunately. So I'm going to probably go for a 2-0 Leicester win.
There we go.
What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, we're on a great run at the moment, 6 unbeaten. And, you know, are we slowly starting to see signs of us, you know, what Val's trying to implement clicking? Are we starting to see signs of that? Possibly, yeah. We got a few sort of injury worries. One which, it's a bit of a grey area at the moment. We don't know the full ins and outs, but it sounds like it could be quite a bad injury to Daniel Backman in goal. So there's that problem. Like Sam, it's very surprising. I know it's only Tuesday, but very surprised we've not heard anything from Val. But I suppose he'll maybe say more in his pre-match press conference. So it'd be interesting to see about that. But do you know what? I know I've just been banging on about how poor our record is at the King Power, but do you know what?
You're going to go for something silly like a 3-0 Watford win now, aren't you?
No, not at all. I think we can go there, and it very much sounds like Leicester try and sort of, they like to keep the ball as best as they can, and they like to pass it around. And I was listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast, and one of your guys, Adam Phillip from Leicester Fan TV, he went on it. And he said that it can get quite frustrating where you'll have the ball and instead of getting it forward at the best opportunity, you'll pass it around at the back and sort of look for gaps.
Yeah.
And we've done last season, we did that so much. And even this season, we'll get the ball and you'll think, oh, here we go. And then it will go back to the goalkeeper and you start again. So I know how frustrating it is, but I think we can go there and make a nuisance of ourselves. So I'm going to go with 1-1, Ben. I'm feeling confident and I would snap your hand off at a 1-1. I think Rajovic is going to continue his form as well.
Yeah, just quickly before we go into the next bit as well, Mike. Mark Schofield says, is Ndidi still injured?
I'm aware, boys, he is, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll be missing from a team on the weekend then, Mark. Sorry, carry on, Mike.
Yeah, well, there we go. That's you just never know, you know, these things might play into your hands. And like Paul says, a bit like Man City, you always think we've got to beat them at some point. Maybe Leicester. one win in 10 years. Before we let you go, Adam, we always like to test the knowledge of our opposition podcast, and we like to play a little game. Now, the game is played for both, so it's a game of can you name who has played for both of our teams? And as you're about to see in the next slide, we do have a leaderboard. So currently, Sheffield Wednesday fan James has named five players. And then Middlesbrough and Birmingham City and Rotherham are all on three players. And then you've got Coventry City on two. I'm sure you want to beat them. And then we've got Leeds United on one. So we've gone back to, I say the 2000s, but one of the players for us played a little bit before that, but he played for Leicester within the 2000s. And we found 15 players. Now, I mean, I'm not expecting you to name all 15, but how many players do you think right now you could name that have played for both Watford and Leicester?
Oh, mate, from what year did you say, sorry?
I always say going back to 2000, but there might be a couple more that are a sort of before that. But I think saying going back to 2000 is definitely, you know, the 15 that we found, they've all played for you within that time period.
I'm going to go Lloyd Dyer.
Okay. Lloyd Dyer, there's one. Any more?
Mate, now you put me right on the spot, ain't you?
Whilst you're thinking, Mike can read out all the stats on Lloyd Dyer.
Yeah, so Lloyd Dyer, I didn't know he'd won League One with Leicester. I knew, obviously, he won the Championship because he always terrorised defences for Leicester in the Championship. But won League One in 08-09 and won the Championship in 13-14. 39 appearances for 39 goals, sorry, for Leicester. 265 appearances, whereas only the 16 appearances, 3 goals and 2 assists for Watford when he joined in 2014. And I was at one of the games where he scored one of those goals.
Controversial, boys. Am I allowed Chowdhury or not?
Yeah, absolutely you are. Yeah. Chowdhury's another one. So you're on two. Obviously, he was on loan for us last season. 36 appearances he made. And he's made 100 appearances. He's come through Leicester's academy, scored 2 goals, won the FA Cup in 2021. He got a winner's medal and the Community Shield as well. Interesting enough, I think he's from Loughborough, which is not far from where my mum lives now at the moment. So I know he's a local lad, and I know a lot of Leicester fans like him for that reason. Any more? Because at the moment you're sitting on two, level on two, level with Coventry. I'm sure you want to beat them, don't you? You've got to beat them.
Come on, I've got to beat them, haven't I? Mate, I don't really know. I'm going to go with Paddy McCarthy. Was he with you?
No, Paddy McCarthy wasn't with us. No.
No.
We'll stick with the two. Okay, then. Well,
do you want to
royal through what you've got, Ben?
Yeah, no problem. So we've got Ben Hamer, current Watford goalkeeper. He's our number two at the moment. So he joined Watford in 2022. He's a free transfer from Swansea City. He's only made 3 appearances for Watford at the moment, but he is going to be playing this weekend because Mike spoke about it earlier. Daniel Batman could be out for a long time with a head injury. So he looks to be our number one. And he spent 3 seasons at the King Power. Danny Drinkwater, he came on loan to us from Manchester United, a former Premier League winner with Leicester City and Championship winner. He made 218 appearances for Leicester. Lloyd Dyer, we've already spoken about. The next one's Tom Cleverley. Had a loan spell at both clubs, came on loan to Watford, went he was at Manchester United, then later rejoined Watford, went on to be Watford's player of the season in the 2009 and 10 season, and then for Leicester City joined in the 2008-09 season, making 15 appearances and scored 2 goals and was also in that team that won League One. Also, James Chambers is a right back that Watford signed from West Bromwich Albion for £375,000, made 106 appearances. He won the Championship playoff final with Watford against Leeds United at the Cardiff Millennium Stadium. He later joined Leicester in 2007 and made 27 appearances. Jordan Stewart, another fullback, played for both sides. So Watford signed him in 2005 from Leicester City for £150,000. He went on to make 117 appearances, and he was also a part of Watford's playoff winning side against Leeds. He came through Leicester's academy and made 127 appearances. Next one is Molly Waggy. He made one appearance for Leicester City when he was on loan from Granada, and he only made 7 appearances from Watford when he was on loan from Udinese. Chris Powell, so he played for Watford in the Premier League during the 2006 and 7 season, making 18 appearances. He later joined Leicester City following his end of his contract from Watford, making 26 appearances. Mark Yates played for Watford in 2011 from Sheffield United, making 66 appearances, 7 goals, 19 assists. And then he played for Leicester City during the 2007 and 8 season, appearances 9 and 1 goal. Kevin Phillips, Watford signed him from non-league side Bulldog Town in 1994. He made 59 appearances and scored 24 goals. He joined Leicester City on a short-term contract in 2014, making 12 appearances and 2 goals. Also was part of the championship winning side that got promoted to the Premier League. And 4 other players that also played for both Watford and Leicester: Gareth Williams, Collins Johns, Wayne Brown, and Trevor Sinclair. Trevor Benjamin.
I'll let you off, Ben, because it didn't sound like you took a breath there. So, and breathe, and relax. you're on 2 now. So, level on points with Coventry. So, you'll have to share the bragging rights for that one. But as we don't usually do this, managed both teams, because when me and Ben were having a look at teams, players that played for both, it was quite interesting to note that you've got a few managers who have sort of won things with you, who have actually been at Watford as well. So I think the first one which we've got is no other than Nigel Pearson. Now, Pearson, I know he's a legend with you guys, and a lot of people say he sort of built the foundations for that Premier League winning side, but he shored things up so well. I say so much when he come in for us. We still got relegated, but we sacked him before the end of the season. So, you know, just quickly, how much of a legend is Pearson down at Leicester?
Oh, massive legend, mate. Yeah, I mean, look what he'd done. League One, took us up and kept us in the Prem, mate. In a nutshell, he's a legend. You need a statue outside, mate, for sure.
They talk very highly on Pearson as well, from what I've heard. Is that I know that when you won the Premier League, they're basically saying that was Nigel Pearson's team, wasn't it? It's what he
winning
built,
team.
And
yeah.
Ranieri just sprinkled his magic, and the rest is history.
100%, mate. Totally agree. I mean, I'd take Pearson again today, mate, if we had to. That's how much he means to Leicester. So, yeah. I'm a bit cheesed that he got the sack from Bristol, to be fair, mate, because I thought he was doing all right for them, so...
Yeah, I thought that. I have to agree. Like you say, you're taking now. He's in a job. So, but I think he was very unfairly dismissed at Watford. I mean, all those rumours about the punch up with Adam Messina and all that bollocks. I don't know how true it was, but he was just someone that he almost give off the vibe that he come in and he just simplified things. I think the way that football's heading at the moment, or the way that it's gone, certainly now. You know, all these philosophies and playing this way and playing that way. Sometimes you need a character like Norwich, who's been in the game for years. He comes in and says, right, this is your job, this is your job, this is your job. Simple as that. And it's, you know, no-nonsense stuff. And you can tell, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to get on the wrong end of him, because he looks like he gives out one hell of a pollocking in the changing room. And back then, we needed that. I mean, like I say, he come in, didn't he, Ben, in that dreaded 1920 season. And, you know, we beat Man U at home under him. I think we beat Aston Villa at home under him as well. That was quite an important game for us at the time. We did also lose to Villa away, which was a bit annoying. Liverpool, we beat them at home. So, you know, the results in which he got, you know, I know the stats there, 22 games, won 7, drawn 5 and lost 10. But he definitely looked like he shored things up to start with. I mean, Ben, I know this is all hindsight is a beautiful thing and that, but do you think if we'd have kept him on for that, what was it? Was it Man City and Arsenal we had left to play? Do you think we would have had a fighting chance of staying up then?
Hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Because I also I like to bring it back to if COVID didn't happen, I don't think Watford would have got relegated that season. I think we would have... Yeah. We would have stayed up. If De La Feu didn't get injured against Liverpool, we would have stayed up. But
if,
I also
if
do
the whole think technology worked at Aston Villa, we would have stayed up.
Yeah.
But also, I think if we gave Pearson the opportunity in those last two games, I think we would have had a better chance of survival than what we did with Hayden Mullins as a caretaker manager. So it was such a strange decision by Gino Pozzo, but we're used to it by now, aren't we? We know what's coming whenever there's a run of bad results. So, yeah, it didn't really surprise me. But, yeah, Leicester legend, isn't he? He won the championship with them and kept them up when they were bottom at Christmas. Were you the first side that was bottom at Christmas that stayed up as well?
Yeah, with Big Nige, yeah.
Yeah, no,
that's what I mean. With Nige, you knew what you were getting with him, lads. And I don't think he's quite there to be a Premier League manager in top half. I think he's like a Sean Dyche to me. Do you know what I mean? He'll keep you up above that line, but I don't think he can push you any further.
Definitely, yeah. No, both fan bases really like Big Nige. So, yeah, I think he will go down well with everyone. But the next one, Mike, I'm going to bring up now is Watford fans don't really like him. It would be good to get your opinion on him. He's obviously won trophies at Leicester City, and it's Brendan Rodgers. Watford fans absolutely despise the guy purely because we gave him his first managerial chance. He managed to keep Watford up in the Championship, had a good season with Watford, and then he promised that he was going to stay loyal with the club, wasn't he, Mike? And then 2 days later, there was an approach from Reading. He packed his bags and he left. And we've seen this with Brendan Rodgers before, haven't we, Mike, with other clubs as well. And whenever another club comes sniffing around, it's the first one out the door. So that's why Watford fans don't really like him. But talk to us about Brendan Rodgers, Adam. How has he gone down with Leicester fans? Obviously, last season was tricky, and has that maybe damaged his reputation with the fans?
100%, mate. I think you hit it on the head. I know where you think he's going to be loyal and then jogs on. But I'm not a massive fan. I mean, everyone say, yeah, he won the UFA Cup, but I didn't rate him muchly, mate, to be honest. He never had a plan B. He never played the players who Enzo's playing today, i.e. Vestergaard. He brought him in, mate, and never even played him. And then we're struggling for centre-halves. Near the end of the season, we didn't have no centre-halves and he still weren't playing him. Do you know what I mean? Surely got to have a plan B.
Yeah.
I reckon if we sacked him before, mate, and took Dean Smith prior to sacking him, we would have stayed up.
Well, there we go. I mean, like Ben said, I don't like him. Yeah, I just don't get... I know they say there's no loyalty in football, and the problem is you get characters like, you know, Troy, for example. I mean, look, his name leaves a bit of a sour taste in Watford fans' mouths after recent comments he's made on podcasts. And obviously he had the opportunity to join you boys. But, you know, you like to think he stayed with Watford all them years when he quite obviously was fancied by other clubs and had the chance to go. But then you get people like Brendan Rodgers that, like Ben said, yeah, I'm staying with Watford. I'm looking forward to what's next. You know, Reading call, you fancy, yeah, absolutely, where do I sign, get me there now. And it's just like, mate, don't be a twat. But he's made his bed and he has to lie in it. And, you know, he's back in Scotland now. I mean, it's League One football, isn't it? You know, I could probably go over there and win something with Celtic, for fuck's sake. But, yeah, each to their own. And the next one, he's, you know, a Leicester legend, I'll say. He won you the Premier League, for God's sake. I mean, I think I actually got sort of told off a little bit in our group chat when I sort of gave my thoughts on him, because And maybe I was being a bit harsh, but I sort of said when we were chatting about Ranieri a couple of weeks ago, and I said, why do people miss him? You know, he was shit. I mean, look at that record there. 14 games he managed for Watford. He only managed to win two of them. He drew one and lost the other 11. He was only in charge for 3 months. But I suppose when you look back on his time at Watford, you know, I mean, the two wins were quite emphatic. It was 5-2 away at Everton and 4-1 at home to Man U. And you could sort of see what he was doing. I mean, Dan Gosling did an interview and he really didn't like him. But you could sort of see what he was doing. And 3 months is no time to do that. His first game was at home to Liverpool, which we lost 5-0. And, you know, maybe he was the right manager at the wrong time. But for you boys, he just... And I always use Leicester as an analogy in terms of how you have to be in the Championship. Because, and I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, Adam, and you probably agree to a certain extent, it wasn't as if you were blowing teams away week in, week out. It was, you were doing the bare minimum to get the job done. Like, you were holding out for those 2-1 wins or nicking a 1-0 here. And it's not like you were going every week winning 3-0, 4-0, 3-0, 4. You were grinding it out, and you have to do that. And Ranieri...
Totally agree with you there, mate. Totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the story, I know we've just said it was largely down to probably the foundations of what Pearson did. But, I mean, did it end a bit sour for him, Adam, his sort of last few moments at Leicester? Or
To be honest, mate, I was a bit pissed off that they sacked him. I mean, I don't think he got a fair whip. You know, you've won the Premier League, mate, and then you sacked him, like, I think it was 10 games in or something, even might have been less than that. So, mate, come on, it's just won you the Premier League and that's how we repay it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm a bit... Come on, I would like to have seen him have a few more games just to see what he would have done. But again, we've mentioned it, I reckon he'd come off a Pearson team and a Pearson winning team. So,
but absolutely.
He's still a legend at the club, mate. He's still done it. So yeah, you won't be seen again.
I think that's very similar, actually, to what he's just said, Ben, to Javi Gracia. You know, obviously, Gracia got us to the FA Cup final and, you know, quite a feat for us. We'd not done it in however many years and, you know, however many games into the next season and he's been given the sack. So, you know, a lot of people sit on the side of he should have been given more time. And then a lot of people sit on the side of he was given enough time and he clearly wasn't working. So, yeah, it's a lot of similarity.
That there's no sentiment or loyalty in football really anymore, really. You don't really get appreciated for the work you've done in a previous season. If you're off to a bad start to the season, these owners nowadays are just trigger happy, aren't they? But it's an investment for them and it's a business. And whenever they see a side struggling, regardless of what they've done the previous season, they get a bit jittery, don't they? And I think Watford and Leicester are good examples of that with Ranieri and then Javi Gracia for us after that FA Cup final.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, it's to see a team like Leicester back in the Championship after everything they've been through. He's pretty crazy. Great comment there from Shane. Ask the Leicester fan, can Watford have Vardy on loan? Do you know what, though? Vardy always scores against us. I should have looked at his personal stats against Watford because I reckon we're probably one of the teams he scored most goals against because he always scores against us. But we'd find a way to ruin him, as we do with most players. But Adam, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And are you making the? Are you going to the game on Saturday?
I am, mate. Yes, I am. Yeah,
you are, bro. We always ask when we're playing away as well. Where do you recommend our fans go for a drink? Where's the away pubs?
Which way do I want to send you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll see that.
Mate, there's plenty around the ground. It's all fan friendly, mate, for both teams. So you'll be sound.
There you go. If you're making the trip to Leicester, stick around by the ground. And if you get your head kicked in, it's Adam's fault for saying it's fan friendly. But no, appreciate you coming on tonight, Adam. And
cheers,
other
lads.
Than the two games against us, we listen. As far as I'm aware, mate, you're halfway packed to the Premier League. So best of luck for the rest of the season, mate. And take it easy,
you boys. Thanks for having me on, cheers. Boys.
Hope no worries.
Nice take one. It. Cheers, Adam. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, boys. Take care.
Cheers. Thank you.
So there we go, Ben. There we go. Leicester's opinion, or Leicester's viewpoint, I should say. And yeah, it's. I think I just want to highlight this comment here, Ben. Mark, who's a regular viewer recently, actually. So, Mark, I don't know how you found us or anything like that, but thank you for commenting and subscribing to us as well, because I got a notification to say you'd subscribed, and thanks for your comments as well. Yeah, he called it a must-win, Ben, and that surprises me because they're absolutely romping the league. I know they've just come off the back of two defeats and they'll want to get back to winning ways, but I'm not sure it's quite a must-win from their side. I think they can afford to maybe drop a few points here and there, but do you think, Ben, we could perhaps portray that sort of thought process from Leicester and use it against them, because they're thinking, right, we've just had two shit results. We've got to win on Saturday. And all the pressure's on them. If they don't start well, if they mess up, we could maybe use that negative energy from the home crowd and use it in our favour. Or are you just thinking, uh-oh, we've got Leicester. What is going to happen?
That's exactly it. I just think Leicester fans at the moment, they've had the back-to-back defeats. They're going into this, and if Watford get an early goal at the King Power Stadium, it changes absolutely everything. You'll probably see the fans get a little bit restless. They might be moaning and groaning, and I think that will play into Watford's hands massively. Even if we keep it 0-0 going into half-time or something, Leicester fans will be turning up expecting to beat Watford. Watford are a Championship side. Leicester, they believe they should be in the Premier League, and I think they should be as well. It was just unfortunate last season with how they ended up getting relegated. But I think that we can maybe use this into our advantage. But we just got to stay strong. And I think our defence is all right. Our defence has done a good job lately. It's just nicking that goal up the other end. And do we have enough to get that goal, Mike?
Well, this is it. You know, we don't score well on the road. I know, you know, recently we've sort of picked up the scoring full stop, whether it's at home or away in the league. But yeah, away from home is a little bit hairy. I'm just going to read a few stats out. We won't be live for much longer. So just whilst we're sort of chatting for these last couple of minutes, get your score predictions in the comments, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube. We'll shout them out. Let us know your goal scorers as well. Stuff like that fascinates me. I like to know what people are thinking. But in terms of the away form, Ben, I just want to read something out. We're 18th in the away form table. We've played 7 games and picked up 6 points. We've scored 5 goals away from home and conceded 10. And
3 of them being in one game at Coventry.
Yes. Compared to the rest of the league, though, 10's not that bad. Southampton have conceded 12. Blackburn have conceded 12. Leeds are on 10. Middlesbrough are on 16, Norwich are on 20, but then again, they've scored 17 on the road. So, yeah, it does worry me in terms of where the goals are coming from on the road. I mean, Leicester have the second joint best home record in the league, 18 points from 8 home games, and they've only conceded 4 at home, which, as I'm scrolling through now, is the best in the league. So we're probably one of the lowest away scorers in the league, up against the best home defence in the league. So, but with that said, they've only scored 11 at home. So, you know, that's not exactly massively, you know, high scoring, but it's all about, for me, Ben, keeping the game 0-0 as long as possible. Keep them at arm's length, frustrate the home crowd. As Paul Whittenbury says here, Leicester fans are very negative. They struggle to get behind their team and players feel it. They remind me of, they remind Paul of us under Ivic. The table tells a different story to their performances. And interestingly, Paul's gone for a 2-1 Watford win. Hoots and Porteous. That would be something if that was the case. But yeah, I think for me, Ben, we've got to go there with a game plan of frustrate them, suffocate them, because it sounds like they like to have a lot of the ball and they like to pass it all at the back and, you know, the build up and everything else. Pretty much what we get pissed off at Watford doing, playing it at the back, playing it here, and not really having that final product. If we can frustrate them and suffocate them as much as we can, if the game's 0-0 for a long period of time, all it takes is that, all it takes is one break. You know, we've got to use players, you know, Asprilla, for example. You know, maybe Tom Ince can use his nous in the league, Jake Livermore, Matthias Martins, you know, players that can frustrate them. And hopefully we can use that to our advantage. As you just highlighted there, Jess said, they'll be keeping those stupid clappy things in their pockets on Saturday. Just before we finally wrap it up, Ben, in terms of your team prediction, I've done mine on FanHub. If you if you guys haven't done yours on FanHub, make sure you do. And if you're not on FanHub, make sure you pull your bloody finger out and get on FanHub. Because we have got a golden ticket code, meaning that if you download the FanHub app, then you will be put into a waiting list. But we have a golden ticket link, which is VOI-TY6. So if you use that, you'll get straight in. But Ben, in terms of your predicted 11, have you done it yet? If you haven't, why? And secondly, if you have, what is your starting 11 prediction?
I'm currently doing it at the moment, as you've just started talking about
it. To spare your blushes, I will go first, because I have done mine. I have done the homework, and I have prepared. So I'm going to hold it up to screen here. So as you can see, I say that, the missus dressing like fucking dressing table lights and getting in the way. So I have gone with Hamer in goal. As I say, I don't for 1 minute want to sit here and pretend that we know something. We don't. We're just going off what we've heard on Twitter. It is meant to be a little bit more serious than just concussion, but we don't know what yet. Hopefully more will come out when Valerian Ishmael does his post-match or pre-match press conference. Can't get my words out tonight, man. Ben Hamer in goal, back four of Jamal Lewis, Wesley Hoot, Ryan Porteous and Ryan Andrews. Jake Livermore keeps his place in the middle, Ishmael Kone and Kayembe. And then I will have Ken Semmer over on the left, Yasser Asprilla over on the right, and I'm going Rajovic. So Porteous is keeping his place. Even if CRL was fit, I think Porteous had a solid game, albeit it was against Rotherham. But he had a solid game, and him and Hoot looked at their best. And Rajovic, for me, you just, as much as he might split the room, you just can't have a striker who scored two goals in the previous game and then put him on the bench the next game. Shoot me if you may, but yeah, that's me. Have you got a team together there, Ben?
Yeah, I've done my team now. So. Good. Looking at it, I don't think I'm going to make many changes to the team at all. I think, if anything, I'm just going to make one change to the team that beat Rotherham United 5-0 last time out.
Yeah,
and that would be, I would take out Yasser Asprilla and I'd bring in Matthias Martins, because I'm sticking with Rajovic up top. So I'd want a little bit more pace, especially for a counter-attack, because Leicester are going to have a lot of possession. Yeah. So I'm going to put Martins into the team. And also, Yasser, he went away and featured for Colombia, or got a call up as well. And it's a bloody long way for flights there. Martins wouldn't have had to deal with that this week, so he might be a little bit fresher. So that's what I've gone with. So I'm keeping the same midfield three, the same back four, same goalkeeper. Rajovic, I think he's going to keep his spot with the two goals he got last week. If anything, If I was picking a team, I think I'd probably go for Bio in this game, purely because of, I think he might be better at leading the line away from home. I think he will chase everything down, and I think we might get more scraps out of it with Bio than Rajovic. But I don't see Val taking Rajovic out of the team after the two goals he got last week. So, yeah, that would be my starting lineup. Just one change, just Martins in for Asprilla.
That's very, very interesting. And you mentioned there Asprilla obviously getting a call up to Colombia. They played Brazil. We're all looking forward to a nice midnight treat of João Pedro against Yasser Asprilla. And, you know, despite what the report said, Asprilla didn't actually get on. I saw quite a few tweets saying that Asprilla got the assist for one of the goals, but he didn't. So, yeah. And you mentioned there he travelled all that way. I feel sorry for Edo Kayembe. He made the trip. He obviously plays for the Dominican Republic of Congo. They played Mauritania and won 2-0. Didn't get a sniff. Didn't get any minutes. And then they played away at Sudan and lost 1-0 and also didn't get any minutes. So, yeah, he's travelled all that fucking way and not even got on a pitch. But, yeah, one last score prediction here. Mark has said Leicester 2, Watford 1. That is a scoreline which resonates very, very much so with me in terms of Watford against Leicester. I will take a 1-1. He's gone Rajovic. So he's saying that Rajovic is going to bag, and I'm here for it. And it's interesting that you've gone with Bayo up top as well. But we are not the managers yet. Our time will come, I'm sure, as Watford managers. But yeah, we'll have to see what team Val selects come 2 o'clock on Saturday. You going to be watching the game then?
I'm not going to be able to watch the game this weekend. So I'll obviously watch all the highlights and stuff Sunday morning or Saturday evening, whenever it is. Yeah, maybe it's a good thing I'm not watching Saturday.
I mean, I'm not doing anything this weekend. We're staying in because the weekend after we'll be in New York, so we don't want to get ill, or, you know, knowing my luck, trip over and break my fucking arm and both legs or something. So being just extra cautious. I've got the beer in. Yeah, basically. I've got the beer in. I've got a feeling I'm going to need a few. Luckily, I've got a crate in, so I'll get through as many of them as I can whilst watching this game. But yeah, just two more things before we go. Firstly, thank you very much for voting on the poll that we did. I'll be honest, we were meant to put out a podcast with an ex-Hornet. I'm not going to name his name. He wasn't able to make it, and that's fine. We're not slagging him off at all. He had to travel sort of last minute. We are looking at getting him on, though. We're not sure when that's going to be, but we are looking at getting him on. So apologies if you were waiting for that ex-Hornet interview and it didn't come. But we put a few polls out, just wanting to basically know what you guys are thinking and how you're watching or what you want to see and everything else. And all your feedback's appreciated. And, you know, we take it on board, and we're trying to make the podcast as best as it can be every episode. We just want to be the best that we can for you guys, because you guys take your time out to watch it. So, you know, we want it to be the best that it can. So thank you for doing that. And then secondly, I'm not going to name the date, but we've all agreed to a date, all five of us, where we're going to be recording our Christmas special podcast. That will be available for you to download and to watch on either the 23rd or the 24th. I've not decided yet. We'll see how Christmassy we're feeling and how generous we're feeling as opposed to when that comes out, because we are playing on the 23rd. I think we're away at Blackburn. So yeah. And there's going to be a match day vlog coming out. The next one's going to be Preston, because me and Cam are going to the Preston away game, which is the 16th of December. But yeah, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you very, very much for tuning in as usual. If you like this video, don't forget to drop it a like. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. But till next time, stay safe and come on, you Horns. Sports Social Podcast Network.